The Money Show. Business Unusual.
Now, what I say, what is the next Warren Buffett? Because the next Warren Buffett isn't necessarily a person, is it, Colin Cullis?
Very good point. I was watching those videos you had made from Omaha. And in reading about our unusual business...
Were they good videos? Would you suggest that people go to 702.co.za? I'm going for a limb here because I don't know the answer. Go to 702.co.za. This could get us both fired. And look at the videos and watch the videos and absorb the excellent content and snappy presentation.
It contains some pearls of wisdom that even Warren Buffett would find quite useful. And well, I'll tell you the ones that I thought about it, because the business this evening is called Numerai, and it uses a strange blend of intelligence to make decisions. And in Warren Buffett's case, there's no question he lives a very simple lifestyle in a very typical US town, so very close to the people who consume the products from the companies that his firms make most of their money from. And he's not a big fan of hedge funds, and this company I'm talking about is a hedge fund. And the thing he doesn't tend to like about him, we've got big fees, flashy people living very removed from the kind of people that would be consuming products. And they're making the call about what the next big thing is. And so much, I think even this evening, we've heard a reference to that bet he's taken. It's now year 9, and he's pretty much assured to win it, because his fund as of February this year was 7% up versus the fund of hedge funds was 2% up. So there's no way he's going to really lose to prove his point.
And brilliant.
Yeah, so he kept things simple. Vest in companies, good intelligence, don't go chasing after speculative things, hence very little in the tech space. But this one might be different, and it relates to a South African. He will only be 30 in 2017, Richard Crabe. He was working for an investment company. He was testing out the use of artificial intelligence, because where aren't we using it these days, on data sets that they had in the financial business. But, you know, financial companies are sort of invested in what they know. They're not necessarily big investors of data science. And so he wanted to get somebody he knew who was far more, you know, involved with this, more sophisticated with it, to give them access. And his firm said, well, no, you can't do that, because what's to stop them simply using their clever data science on our expensive data sets and then making those trades? Fair point. But it did give him an idea. He started using a form of encryption that allows data scientists to work with data sets that they have no idea what they are. And his company, Numerai, has recruited about 12,000 and counting, anybody around the planet who thinks they can manage data models, who will be given data from him, and they will run their models and then send it back to him. And then he creates a leaderboard. And the best performing models, relative to the data sets and the real life data that he's modeling it again, he pays them. And he's got some pretty impressive investors already offering up the kind of cash that allows him to keep getting data scientists to say, oh, I'll take a dip at that one. And as this now builds, he's using those models to create better and better, more sophisticated models for actual investments. So a real finance company, or a regular finance company, would have had to spend a long time, very expensive investments to get to the same level. He's potentially going to get there with a fraction of the cost very, very quickly. And there's something else that's quite, well, super clever, I think, for how he does it. If you think about people in the finance industries and they're making the traders, you know, they've got certain personal interests in certain sectors. And along with that, and we've touched on this before, biases. These data scientists have no idea what those numbers are for. There is no way they can start saying, this is for car sales. Oh, I think I'm going to use my special who's going to buy a car next algorithm and make it fit the data and then look very impressive. It's exactly what they don't want. They simply want people to use clever machine learning to find patterns that will better predict what markets will do.
Okay. So it's a there's an element of technical analysis and technical trading in here, but does it replace human beings? I mean, it seems like he's trying to take emotion out of it. He's trying to use data analytics to better predict what markets will do. And I just wonder at what point human participation in the market no longer matters.
Well, there is an element that says we'll just get machines to do very fancy deep neural network kind of analysis on this. And that's possible. And potentially a rival who says, hey, he's onto something, may decide to invest in just going that route. They've got the money, so that's what they'll do. He hasn't got that kind of capital. So he's saying, actually, I'm going to rely on people, regular people. And I must admit, this is something I might even have a dip at doing. Not that I have a clue what I'm doing, but it doesn't matter. Because, you see, I don't have to be an expert in finance. I just need to go and use some very, you know, easily available programs that are capable of manipulating numbers. And because today I kind of thought this one I'd heard about was a very clever little algorithm for sorting things very quickly or finding correlations between things, I'll give it a go. I can't lose money because it doesn't cost me to send a prediction. But all of these prediction models, when used together, and there's another very clever branch of data science here that I won't get into, but when models are added together, they have an additive effect on the likelihood of them being more accurate than simply using one and refining it with lots and lots of data.
Have you got an English translation of what you just said?
It is kind of, if I have to tell you that it's based on homomorphic encryption. You know, this stuff is mind-bending. It's based on, you know, using blockchain. And he's got blockchain in the mix here. So it is actually very complex. Data scientists look and they say, no big deal. You and I, not so much. But it's the difference that he wants to do for two things. One, he talks about a network effect, and this is something that might sound a bit weird, but if you think about how he uses Facebook even as an example, Facebook says, I'm going to get a lot of people using my service. As a consequence, I'm going to scoop up all of the advertising dollars, which they've pretty much done. I mean, Facebook pretty much has moved everybody else in the advertising game to one side, certainly online. And as a consequence of that, he's kind of owned the market. He points out that when you look at hedge funds, they don't control. You don't find massive hedge funds controlling huge amounts of the available funds before investment, with the exception of people like Warren Buffett, who, thanks to his phenomenal success and, you know, real stable performance over time, has attracted those sorts of investors. He's looking to get a lot of people working on this hedge fund. When that hedge fund then starts returning good results, you can imagine a lot of people saying, I want some of that hedge fund. He's effectively going to try and do a Facebook for finance. He's creating it via an Uber for people offering their work for finance intelligence and analysis, even though, as I say, they have no idea what they're actually analyzing, and it might have nothing to do when a molecular biologist runs a prediction model for a finance company and then gets a reward in Bitcoin for doing so.
I think I'm showing my age, or maybe it's just the jet lag, but I feel deeply uncomfortable with this cold use of data. But maybe it is the future. Maybe the cold, emotion-free use of data is what makes the world better and more predictable and more stable over time. Well, maybe it's what causes chaos and drives us all over the edge.
Well, yes, two things. One, it is very experimental. It is still a very new company. And like most of these things, it's not to say that the first one will succeed, but it starts the investigation, the exploration of this area. And I don't think there's much doubt that AI, neural networks, etc., are definitely going to be a game changer for how people make decisions. He's applying it to a finance market. It might work. He could use this for the UN to better predict, the movement for refugees in conflict areas. We have no idea where these models might become very sophisticated and clever at doing. I mean, Watson, IBM Watson, we've touched on this one before. Massive neural deep thinking computer handed over with medical records, I think, for the UK NHS specifically, started finding all sorts of ways of diagnosing patients better ways of treating them that they wouldn't have known about, simply because they could get this massive machine pouring through huge amounts of data. But then here's the real kicker, I think, and why I say perhaps this could be the next Warren Buffett, because, as you said, he's never been a big fan of technology, doesn't really rate Bitcoin, didn't buy much into Amazon and Google. He could simply buy this company and in one fell swoop ensure that even at the age of 80-something plus, he's well sure that his company is going to continue making great investments in the future.
But he'd rather just take the S&P 500 because he thinks that
it's working.
Are going to do better in the future. Maybe those indices are doing well because of so much automated trading happening, making markets more predictable, perhaps. Colin Cullis with Business Unusual on a Wednesday.